Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining. This is a different broadcast, but it is still the platform of Hey Sis, I Need a Word. We're going to be talking about politics a little bit tonight. Well, a lot tonight. Because we have so much going on. If you've noticed, if you look around just the world today, people are so inflamed. People are so annoyed. And if you mention politics, if you get into politics, you will make an enemy. Now, we don't want to make enemies, but we do know in this walk with the Lord, we will make some because we have to stand for what's right. I have to get straight into what we're talking about today. And I want you to understand that the word of God is not to infuse hatred because some people are using it for that. The word of God is a two-edged sword. That's what the word says. It's quick, it's sharp, it's powerful, and it divides asunder. Yes, it does, even to the joints and marrow. So we want to understand tonight that the word of God is supposed to get in your spirit and convict your spirit if you claim to love Jesus. I want to go straight into what we want to cover tonight, which is why we have a Roseanne reboot and why are we seeing so many topics about evangelicals being in the White House as they should be in there. But we're seeing so much heat about them being in there, and that's what I want to get into tonight as well. I want to get straight into Revelations tells us in Revelations chapter 3. The word of God says in 3 and 14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith, Amen, the faithful and true, witness the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the same of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see." See, because the Lord is saying some of us are blind. "As many as I love, I rebuke," pen in that, "and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And that is what we're talking about tonight. What is the Spirit saying to the churches in this hour? Now, I told you the topic. So this is not for anybody to get angry about the facts. The list of them goes long. We want to look at who all has left. Is my first thing. Who all has left the administration since Donald Trump took office? We can go from David Shulkin, who was the Secretary of Veteran Affairs. He had ethic violations, misuse of taxpayer dollars, said that when he left the office, that it was toxic, chaotic. It was disrespectful and subversive. H.R. Masters left. He was a national security advisor. Rex Tillerson has gone. He was a U.S. Secretary of State. He called Donald Trump a moron. See, people will work with Donald Trump, but when they leave, they got many names for him. This is telling to us. We got John McEntee. He was a personal aide. He didn't stay there long at all, like 200-some days. We have Gary Kahn, the director of National Economic Council. He's gone. Hope Hicks, who remember after she was interrogated by the House Intelligence Committee, she for saying that she sometimes tells white lies for the president, she resigned. After Hope, Rob Porter Now, we know him from being in the news because of domestic violence from his two ex-wives. Omarosa Manigault, director of communications, she's gone. You know, I don't think many missed her. Dina Powell is also gone, and she was the deputy national security. Tom Price, Secretary of Health and Human Services, they said he left because of, in the short 230 days that he was there, he took 26 chartered planes to different areas of the world, spending $1 million in taxpayers' money. So we have Sebastian Gorka. He was the deputy assistant who left. That's number 11. Steve Bannon, chief strategist. We have Anthony Scaramucci, who left the White House. Now, he was a White House comm director. Now, he was only there for 6 days. Because of a telephone conversation with a lot of expletives he was using with the New York Times, Ryan Leva. So Anthony had to leave because of using a lot of profanity, and he was recorded as so. So we have Lance Priebus, chief of staff, who left. Sean Spicer, White House press secretary, who's also gone. Mike Duke. And he was a White House comm director. We have James Comey. We all remember that, FBI director. Mike Flynn was only 25 days into his tenure there, and he's gone. Sally Yates, an attorney general, she was there for 3 decades before Trump took office, and she was only there 11 days when he came in. Now, you see how many we had there. We had over 18 people that are gone from the White House. This tells plenty. There's about 10 more. And why are we having so much turnover? Why are we having so much disagreement? You know, working for Trump, people are saying that are leaving there under him, it's a lot of chaos, a lot of stress, a lot of disrespect. It's not a good builder for your resume, it seems, to work there. I bet Sarah Sanders, the press secretary, doesn't get any sleep now. Would you, when you see the turnover being that high, when you see how many people are being so vicious right now about what goes on in the White House, what Trump says on Twitter? It's something every day. You know, I just hope Sarah Sanders, I hope that she can get in a place of peace, because I'm sure she's probably on all kinds of medication. Now, it cannot be defended. It cannot. As a saint of God, it cannot be defended that Donald Trump cannot be said to be an honorable man. That's what we see people are saying that go in there and pray for him, that he's an honorable man, he has moral scruples, and he's looking out for the interests of Americans. His track record has been one that vilifies women. All Americans have heard recordings of him talking downright filthy. He calls it locker room talk about grabbing women's private areas. This is a dead horse we're beating here. But we've all heard the tapes. We've heard him denigrate women, even now, in verbal disputes on his Twitter posts, when he's doing news reporting, when he's replying to something someone said on CNN or Fox. We hear him with women in these verbal disputes time and time again. We saw how he shut the door in his wife's face when she was getting in the car. A gentleman's going to walk his wife to the car and let her in. That's a gentleman. That's chivalry. Now, we've seen that. Now, he has been remarried 3 times. We've been enduring, since he got in office, a Russia probe, which has now turned up 13 indictments by Mueller, and 3 companies were also indicted on behalf of the Trump campaign. The fact is, this Russian interference was to help Trump. We can't deny that. He has land in Russia. His wife is from the country, and it is quite telling. These things are quite telling. We have to be reasonable, and we have to be logical about what's being shown, though we will never know it all. We will never get the whole of it, and, you know, that's not important. We already see big pieces of the puzzle that this administration is about keeping money in the hand of a few to the detriment of us all. The massive spending bill that just went through the roof, $1.3 trillion, folks. Tell me, can't that buy a country? $1.3 trillion was this massive spending bill. It showed us that the Republican leaders are manipulating Trump, and he sees that. even more clearer than ever. America is not great again. Hate crimes are at an all-time rise. The nation is split by Christians, evangelicals. It's split by whites against blacks more than ever, Republicans and Democrats against one another, left and right, Laura Ingraham versus the David Hogg's in the world. We got conservatives against the liberals, donkeys against the elephants. However you want to categorize the differences that are going on in America, it's never been so divided. Now, this is the focal point of this episode tonight, because we as saints of God, before his return, got to get this thing right. We can't make excuses because we have a favorite team that we're on, and we got to justify this thing, because we got to stand in front of the Lord himself one day and be accountable. So again, this is the focal point of this episode tonight. As we look at the political mainstream, we know that the word of God tells us, even in Matthew 18 and 15 through 17, that if we have a problem with our brother, we go to him in private first, do we not? And then if that doesn't work, we go and get someone else, a witness, two or three, if you will, so that every word is established when you go and talk to that brother again. And then this is rules of the church, and this is a Christian way we do things. Then if it doesn't work, then you bring this person in before the congregation and you make a decision. And you let him know or her know they're wrong, and then you turn them over because you've done your part. Now, that is the way it's done in our church. That's what we're supposed to do as saints. 1 Timothy 5 and 1 says, we're not to sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father and to a younger man as a brother. So the Lord is telling us through Timothy that we are to not sharply rebuke. So we're not here to damn someone to hell and talk so bad about a president that there is nothing left to do. We're not here to do that. But as saints of God, we have an accountability, and we are not supposed to be lukewarm. Now, John the Baptist told Herod openly he had broken Mosaic law and had remarried Philip's wife, which was his brother. He told him to repent, and this is the main thing. We don't turn a blind eye to wrongdoing because we are loyal to a person. We are to urge him in brotherly love to repent, especially if we are an advisor. We cannot be stubborn because we wish, like I said earlier, our party to be victorious, to be seen in a good light. Too much is at stake for that type of pettiness. The sanctity of this nation has withered away like the fig tree Jesus touched coming back from the synagogue because it bore no fruit. We cannot be vile with stubbornness. 1 Samuel 15 and 23 says, for rebellion is sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the iniquity and idolatry. When Obama was in office, he had some policies that contradicted the Bible. I was no longer in favor of him once he openly embraced same-sex marriages, because I know who I represent. Same-sex marriages can't be for a child of God. Now, you can call it an alternative lifestyle if that suits you. You can euphemistically label it a civil rights issue if that makes you feel any better. You can call the gay and homosexual lifestyle whatever you please, but wrong is wrong and right is right in the eyes of God, and that's who my master is. That's who I stand for. That's who I'm with. As they ask, who you with? People are who, when they say who they're with, they make it plain and they make it bold. It shouldn't be no straddling the fence. That's why I started you off with Revelations. You shouldn't be lukewarm. My point is, as Christians and holy, righteous people, believers and disciples of Jesus, we cannot sit at the table of whoredom, eat at Ahab and Jezebel's table in this hour, and worship Baal because we love our politics. No, we cannot do that. In this hour, we got to be either right or wrong. So if you say you're a child of God, you got to know where you're standing at in this hour, and it will require some losing of friends. It's going to make some people upset. It's going to poison some Christians against one another because, see, if you're of the world, if you're sitting at Jezebel and Ahab's table and still calling yourself a Christian, a woman of God, and a man of God, See, it's going to be some discerners in this time right now, because that's what the Lord is raising up. He is raising up discerners. He's going to give people anointing. And they're not going to be up in these White House touching folks and laying hands on the wicked and saying to the rest of the audience that this person is right, because the Bible tells us, whoa, until the day when they're calling good evil and evil good. Know the tree by its fruits. This is not a white or black thing in this message tonight. It's not about that with me. It's right or wrong thing. That is why I can't understand the evangelicals like Robert Jeffries, but it's saying, and you can look this up, Trump loves the Lord, and he's God-fearing. She's saying the Lord said, oh, he forgives sin. We know this. But Paula White tells us, oh, he's God-fearing. But his words don't show that. His actions don't show that. The Lord tells us, if you love him, you will keep his commandments. That's what a God-fearing person does. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. See, one of the commandments is, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We've seen him do that plenty of times. One of them says, thou shalt not commit adultery. We know he's done that. That's all over the news all the time. So these things are without debate. The point is, has he repented? This is what's going on now. Has he repented? He's cheated on all his wives, so we know we don't have an altar boy. He's even cheated on Melania. No one cares about the Stormy Daniels story. This is what they tell. This is what they say. But truthfully, it just adds more layers of mud to this already burdened down, saturated sinkhole of problems plaguing this administration. It's a list of issues. So when I see people who are laying hands on the president and praying, I go to 1 Timothy 2:1-5. And it says, exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So, yes, we are to pray for our leaders and exhort them. We're supposed to exhort them if they have sin on their hands to repent and step from there living righteously, because we're out here supposed to be saving. We're not supposed to keep on encouraging them and not saying a word for them to keep being in sin. So it's wonderful to pray for our leaders, but don't lie to the public. This leader is a God-fearing man. And she stated boldly, he surrounds himself with Christians and that he is a Christian. And I just was like, wow. She says this, he surrounds himself with Christians and he is a Christian. As I previously listed for you all at the beginning of the show, everyone who has stepped away from the White House for improprieties of money, wife beating, even being Carson is in the news for all this HUD money spending. Extravagant living is what we see. Everything is about money. See, because for many, the church has turned into a business. Trump's record speaks for itself. If he was surrounded by Christians, we wouldn't see all these indictments and things going on, and then they overturn and put out to the public eye what's really going on, because he's not surrounded by Christians. Robert Jeffries says, God forgives sin. That's why, you know, it's not important what he's doing, because God forgives sin. That's between him and God, is what he keeps repeating. It's between him and God, because we're supporting him as evangelicals because of the policies and what they stand for, because of the policies. What are you telling me? Paula is his spiritual advisor. She doesn't care whether he's repented or not. You don't care about whether if he's repented. No, you're supposed to. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Come on now. Because if we ain't never heard Donald Trump repent, it doesn't ever seem like he ever has because of his bold contempt for authority and anyone trying to tell him the right way to go and proceed. It's always going to be some vilified remark to anyone. So that is not the spirit of someone who's a Christian, and that's not the spirit of someone who loves the Lord. We cannot hope that grace may abound. The fact is, if the evangelicals are not warning Trump that he must repent to God because they keep stressing they don't know if he has, and it's between him and God. Cain is his spiritual advisor. She should know these answers. But I don't believe they're seeking these answers to want to know them because, like I said, this is about business. This is about money and exposure. The church has become a business today because we are supposed to be concerned and we're supposed to know if we're spiritually advising somebody if they have repented. Ezekiel 33:19 says, "Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." But if you do not warn him, the Lord said, his blood will be on your hand. In other words, we as leaders in this Christian world and as saints, we're supposed to be warning and exhorting them to repent. Is what we must do. This is part of the responsibility. This walk is a tough one, but it is a rewarding one. We can't be Republican first or Democrat first before God, his word. We must be Christ-like first. All the media does is try to shape our Christian belief with politics and the world. And so many are letting their politics swallow them whole like Jonah's whale. Swallow them whole. And they have no problem with it. They will sit on these TV shows and on these analytical Fox News broadcasts and debate back and forth why they are standing by a leader who keeps repetitively doing something. It's not weekly, it's daily. You know, and let's see the atmosphere of what's going on all around us with politics. It's being shoved in our face all kind of ways subliminally. As I mentioned to you at the very beginning, when you look at the Roseanne show and when it rebooted, I was wondering after 20 years, why was she coming back? I was interested in what angle was going to be brought out because I'm hooked to what Hollywood does. I'm up to the game as far as what is being taught to our kids via the television. So I was interested in what the agenda was with Roseanne because, see, Roseanne, several years ago, was known for speaking out about MK Ultra. She was known for bringing up some things that were going on behind the curtain that people weren't talking about in Hollywood. Because if they did, they knew they would be ostracized and probably killed. So when I saw her show coming back, I said, okay, she had a huge following when her show was out. But why now, after she has publicly talked about the people who were paying her? She stated this: Hollywood is the one that keeps all this power structure. They perpetuate the culture of racism, sexism, classism, genderism, and keep it all in one place. They feed it, make plenty of money doing it. They do it at the behest of their masters who run everything. Those are her words, that they perpetuate racism, sexism, classism, and genderism. When you look at the show that has rebooted, what's it about? A viewership of 18 million the first time it aired, 15 million just recently. It went down 3 million. Now, what is the show about? The show is very political. It's talking about campaigning, president, what the president's trying to do. I've never seen such outright boldness of what this particular sitcom is now all about. It also shows a mixed marriage. It also has a child who's transgender playing a character. Need I say more? Saints, be on the wall in this hour. Guard the gates of your eyes the gates of your ears and watch what comes out of your mouth, because we are being fed from all angles. Transgenderism, all this same-sex marriage stuff so that we'll be okay with it. And we're being told right is wrong and wrong is right and good is evil and evil is good. And we see saints tearing each other apart on social media because nobody wants to stand for the truth. So we back in the times of the Bible days. We back in those days. Television and media has become a program and it's out to persuade and influence your beliefs. And my word for you tonight is to see and be up on that wall and watch. Keep your families close. Know where your kids are. Talk to them. Speak with them. Because this is the hour that the Lord is sure to come. And we don't want to be caught with our work undone. We don't want to be caught straddling the fence. We don't want to be caught in a lukewarm state of mind. Yes, Jesus. I pray that you have received a word from tonight. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. You have been listening to Hey Sis, I Need a Word. And I thank you for tuning in. Good night.